Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, well, we have an open line for you right now. That number is 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, all of us encounter temptations of every kind in this world. This world is filled with worldly passions, as Paul describes it in his letter to Titus. There's ungodliness everywhere we turn. There's sexual immorality. It's just rampant.
Yes.
There's everything that you can imagine that is opposed to this new life that we have in Christ, mm-hmm. that is counter to this new life in Christ. And then we have the desires of the flesh. So when you and I are born again, we're still housed in a body of flesh. And in that body of flesh, those desires of the flesh are still there. They don't go away.
No.
And I know that surprises a lot of brand new Christians. They think, gosh, all those old desires are just going to disappear. And then they just get absolutely shocked beyond measure when one of those old desires resurfaces. And they start to think, well, maybe this salvation didn't take effect. Maybe I hadn't been saved. Maybe God has abandoned me or something like that. They have all kinds of crazy thoughts just because the desires of the flesh resurfaced.
Yeah.
Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 5. He said, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He didn't say the desires of the flesh go away.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you're going to live in the newness of life, then in living in the newness of life, which is being led by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, then you're automatically not going to be gratifying the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
So that's important for us to really understand. And so this new life that we have in Christ is Spirit-led. It's Spirit-sourced. It's Spirit-led. It's Spirit from start to finish.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes where we miss the mark. We forget that our role in this is simply to abide, to walk by faith in what God is doing in and through us, what he has done for us in the person of Christ and in the work of Christ, and what he's doing through us through the Spirit of Christ living inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a life of faith is all about. That's what the walk in the Spirit is all about. Now, when a sin keeps knocking at our door and we keep giving in to it time and time again, we get kind of sick of it. At the end of the day, Lord, here I am again, did the same thing. And we cry out for help. We promise God we're not going to do it again. And what normally happens is that we try to battle that area of life, that sin, through human effort. We fall back under the law, under the rules and regulations. And when we do that, we just give sin an even stronger advantage in our lives. We are no longer under the law. We are under the grace of God.
Yeah.
And under the grace of God, we are led by the Spirit. So if we want to be victorious, that's where we have to begin. We have to realize that this life that we now have is Spirit-led from start to finish. So if we will walk in the Spirit, we're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
That is the hope. That is the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we have to realize we're no longer under the law. When we were under the law, we were lost. We were dead spiritually. Sin was our master. We were joined to sin and death, and the law bound us to that relationship. We had no way out. So what did God do? Well, through Jesus, we died in Jesus. So we've been released from the law.
Right.
Through the very death of Christ, we have been released from the power of sin and death, and we've been raised so that we could be joined to another. That another is Jesus Christ himself, as he is given to us himself through the very Spirit of God. So now we belong to Jesus. Now we're led by the Spirit. And so we can trust that God's Spirit has enough power to overcome in our lives when sin knocks at the door. We just have to trust the Spirit of God, the power of God that is manifest through the Spirit of God living inside of us.
Yeah. Great admonition, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, you've tuned in to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. We're glad you're here. If you have a question, we have an open line for you. If you're hearing the broadcast in the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, it is live, and this is your opportunity, the best one you'll have today, to call and speak directly with us. If you have a question or some life issue, call right now, 844-322-2742. Again, that's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And of course, we hope that all of you, our listeners, are benefiting from what you hear on Basic Gospel every day. And to further help in that regard, we want you to have a free copy of our booklet called Living Life on the Edge. If you're hearing the live broadcast, as I said, in this 3 p.m. hour, you can call right now and talk to Michelle if you'd like a free copy. That number, 844-322-2742. That's our universal listener line, 844-322-2742. Or request your copy online at basicgospel.net/life. Again, that's basicgospel.net/life for your absolutely free copy of our booklet, Living Life on the Edge. So we want you to have it, and so take advantage of it right now. Well, Bob, this question came in from one of our YouTube listeners. Let's hear what Martha has to say. She says, what should I do when there is a certain sin that keeps defeating me?
Well, that's what we were just talking about. And I think where you begin is with truth. What is truth? What has Christ done for you? And that's why this booklet is so important. And that's why we want to get this booklet in your hands, because if you're struggling with a particular sin in your life, every day, every morning, you wake up, you're probably praying, Lord, help me not do sin X, whatever it might be. Well, already you're thinking about that sin. And you're thinking about, hey, I'm not going to give in to that sin today.
Right.
So now the enemy just kind of uses that to say, well, what's so bad about that? What's so bad about giving in to that sin? And so you have this whole little running dialogue in your head, and you're constantly thinking about that sin. So that particular sin is in the very center of your mind.
Yeah.
So now you have to step back and say, well, what is truth? Well, here's what truth is. Jesus Christ has already condemned that sin through his death on the cross. Mm-hmm. So he's already called it what it is, and he's already dealt with it for what it is, and he's released you from the power of it. And in this new covenant, he says that he's forgiven it and he remembers it no more. So if he remembers it no more and you're waking up thinking about it, then you're not on the same page with Jesus, are you?
Right.
So you have to say, hey, thank you, Jesus, that you've forgiven this. Thank you, Jesus, that you've come to live inside of me, that your power is there and available for me, and that by this power and through your grace, you are teaching me about my new identity in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to let my new identity in Christ kind of shape my thinking, shape my decisions, and move me down a different path. So you begin by remembering you are Spirit-led.
Yeah.
You're a child of God. You're led by the Spirit. Your sins have been forgiven. You have Christ living inside of you. So you need to wake up every morning, instead of asking God for help in regards to that sin, start saying, Lord, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in and through me today.
Mm-hmm, right.
So immediately, as you begin the day, your focus isn't on the sin, your focus is on Jesus.
Yeah.
As the writer of Hebrews says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So if you wake up with that prayer, Lord, I'm excited to see what you're going to do in and through me today, I guarantee you that temptation and that sin will start to lose its hold in your life.
Sure. Right.
And your mind will start thinking more clearly, and you will see the wisdom of God being manifest in and through you.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see what it truly means to walk by the Spirit. And as you begin that walk by the Spirit, you're not going to be fulfilling the desire of the flesh. It's that simple. Yeah. So quit concentrating on the sin. Quit waking up in the morning and saying, Lord, please help me not do this today. And quit at night saying, oh, Lord, here I am again. I did it again. Maybe tomorrow will be better.
Yeah.
You've got to say, Lord, thank you that you've already dealt with it, that your blood, your shed blood took it away once and for all, and that you've freed me not to have to worry about cleaning up the flesh, but you freed me to take a look at you and to walk by faith in you and teach me what that is and teach me what that looks like on a day-to-day basis.
Martha, thank you for reaching out. We hope that's a help to you. And friends, as we've said a number of times, one of the most important aspects of this particular ministry as we reach out to you is your interaction with us. We want to hear from you. And if you're hearing the live broadcast at about 10 past 3 p.m. Central Time, give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we had this call that came in overnight.
Hi, guys. I have a question. I heard a couple pastors talking about heaven and how everything that's good down here, we will enjoy dramatically in heaven. And it's going to be so wonderful in heaven. All the good things that we enjoy here on earth, we will enjoy 10 times as much as heaven. They said even marital relations. Now, marriage was given to us here, and in heaven, there is no marriage. So how would we enjoy marital relations if there's no marriage in heaven? So I think it's just down here for us. Please tell me if you agree or disagree. Thank you.
Well, I think Scripture clears that up for us in Matthew chapter 22. We see a question being asked by some Sadducees, and they are asking about a particular situation. If a man dies and then his brother marries his wife, and then he dies, and then his brother marries and goes on down to seven.
Yeah.
He said, who will she be married to in the resurrection? Now, that's kind of crazy because the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. So Jesus said, you are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. So he called them on the carpet with their phoniness in even presenting that question. And Jesus said, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, we're not going to become angels. We're superior to the angels. We're the highest of God's creation. We were made in the image of God. We experience the grace of God. We're in union with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So he's not saying that we're going to become angels. He's saying we're going to be like them. They don't marry. So that's what he's saying. So we're not going to be in marriage relationships in heaven like we are here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's some reasons for that. As Paul talks about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, he says marriage is a mystery. And he talks about, you know, husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your husbands, for he is the head as Christ is the head of the body. And he goes on and talks about these roles that husband and wives have within the marriage relationship here and now. And then he says, you know, I'm really not talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and his church. Well, that's the marriage that's going to stand eternally, and that's the one that's going to be the heavenly one.
Yeah.
So at the end, we see a new Jerusalem, the bride coming down, and God takes his place, dwells with man there forever, and that's what it's going to be. That's where we're going to be. And so the relationships that we have one with another are going to be relationships based on the fact that we were born again into the same family.
Right.
So Jesus is our elder brother, and we're going to experience relationships as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the heavenly realm is going to be like, and that's what those relationships are going to be like. Now, that's not going to say we might not have special relationships with people that we knew here, but it's not going to be in a marriage setting. Why? Because some of the reasons for marriage will be gone. Mm-hmm. So he said, you know, come together, be fruitful, and multiply. Well, that's not going to be needed in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we all got there through new birth in Jesus Christ. So we're not going to have to multiply in the heavenlies. That's all going to be taken care of. So I think that's one of the reasons there's not going to be marriage as far as like it is here and now. We're going to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ with God dwelling among us, and we're going to be the people of God, and it's going to be far better than anything that we have ever experienced here
or imagined.
We can't imagine, but it's going to be far better. We can just guarantee that.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We have plenty of time on the clock. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And Bob, talk to our listeners a little bit again about this the booklet that we're offering called Living Life on the Edge.
Well, it's a booklet I wrote a number of years ago, and then I took a look at it and decided to revise it and, you know, just kind of clean it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those booklets that really answers a lot of questions for people on some of the whys. Why do I still think the way that I do? Why do I still give in to some of the same temptations that I did before I knew Christ? Why do I still have these desires of the flesh? Those are all important questions, and many people go through life not knowing the answer, not knowing the why behind the way they think, some of those desires of the flesh, and the why of do they still give in to those temptations.
Yeah.
Well, this little booklet answers those, and it gives a solution.
Mm-hmm.
It points you to Jesus Christ and how to trust him and his grace to teach you to renounce worldly passions and to live godly, upright lives in this present generation. So it connects you to hope. It connects you to victory. It connects you to Jesus in a very real and powerful way that you can experience his life to the full. So we want to put this into your hands, and we want to do it so badly that we're offering this free of charge.
Yeah. Request your free copy online at basicgospel.net/life. Again, that's basicgospel.net/life for your absolutely free copy of our booklet, Living Life on the Edge. Bob?
Yes, indeed.
Time to
well,
go
let's
online.
Go to my old hometown and talk to David in Marietta, Georgia. Hi, David.
Hey, David.
Hello, brothers. Long-time listener. Been a while since I called in, and thanks for taking my call.
Great
well, you are
you.
So welcome. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, so I had recently had a great opportunity to kind of try to witness to some old friends, and I was reflecting on the whole thing, and I was kind of looking back on my whole Christian. You know, I've never been maybe direct enough with folks. I kind of end up maybe more explaining why I'm a Christian rather than kind of going about that systematic sort of, well, you know, where would you go? Where do you think you'd go when you die? And have you accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You know, I don't really follow that sort of track, you know, approach. And sometimes I feel a little bit guilty because I come away from those opportunities kind of, you know, I should have said this or that. And, you know, guilt's never a good thing there. But some of the scriptures there where it says, mentions, you know, cowardice and, you know, denying Christ and things. And I don't know that, you know, that can, you know, be construed as going that far. But if you understand what I mean, I know sometimes we have to ask really tough questions and be direct, but at the same time, to try to be authentic and just maybe, you know, I end up stumbling over my words. As you can even see I'm doing it now, you know, talking over the phone. So
I'm well familiar with that.
Yes, yes. We're all well familiar with that. And I remember one time we were going door to door. This was years ago, and we were in an area of Dallas that didn't have a single church in it. There was a suburb that didn't have one single church in that suburb. And we were going door to door, and we were, you know, promoting a revival or something. And then we were hoping for the opportunity to share the gospel. And I went up to one door and knocked, and this guy comes out, and he's in a robe, and he's got a toothbrush in his mouth. He's brushing his teeth. And I started talking to him, and he never stopped brushing his teeth. And I finally looked at him and said, "You're just not interested at all." He said, "Nope."
Yeah.
And he said, "Nope," as he's brushing his teeth. And I said, "Well, okay." And he just shut the door. I'm like, that wasn't a very good witnessing experience. That wasn't very successful at all. And, you know, you look at that and say, what could I have done better? What could I have done that would made him drop the toothbrush and just have his ears perk up and listen? And when you start thinking about that, you start thinking about your performance. How well did you do? And when you start thinking in those terms, at how well you did, that's when you get nervous, because the next time you have an opportunity, you're going into that opportunity with that same thinking. I hope I can do a better job this time. And so it's all about your performance again. I want to make sure I say the right words. I want to make sure that I go through the steps correctly and all of those things. So you get nervous. You get nervous about going through the presentation. And I think that's where you have to step back and say, it ain't about me.
Yeah.
It is not about me and how well I present the gospel. I'm just here because I want to love this person. I want to find out what's going on inside of this person. I want to find out what's really happening in this person's soul. And as you engage in a conversation about what's going on inside this person, then things will start to emerge in this conversation where the gospel message begins to make sense. And so it becomes a natural opportunity to say, well, here's how that was answered in my life. And you just share what you know to be true. And so you have to think about that other person. You have to say, Lord, I want to love this person. You say Christianity is all about the souls of men. I want to find out what's going on in the soul of this person. Mm-hmm. And as you engage in that type of conversation, you'll find some great opportunities just to share Christ. And once you share Christ, you're not there to produce results, are you? You can't produce results. Yeah. You don't have the power to save somebody. You're just sharing the hope that is within you as it relates to that person. And as you do, you leave the results of that in God's hands.
Yeah.
And you just walk away. Maybe nothing happens at that particular moment, but you rest in the fact that God has planted a seed, and at some point, that seed is going to grow, take root and grow.
Yeah, it's not your responsibility. It's the responsibility of the Holy Spirit. So that takes all the pressure off of us. And we just share Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and leave the results to God.
Yeah. So don't worry about your performance, David. Don't worry about, you know, did I do it well enough? Did I say the right thing? Just love people. Just find out what's going on inside of them, and then those conversations will follow naturally. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's super helpful. Just be yourself. Love people. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. I haven't heard it put it that way. Really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, David. Thanks for your call. Thanks for your heart for the gospel and your love for people. That's so encouraging. And God bless you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Well, friends, Basic Gospel donors in July are going to receive our audio series and the booklet, Living Life on the Edge, and you can donate right now at basicgospel.net. We'd love for you to become a partner with us. But whether you're a donor or not, we want you to have a free copy of the booklet, Living Life on the Edge, simply by going online to request it. Request your free copy of the booklet, Living Life on the Edge, at basicgospel.net/life. Again, that's basicgospel.net/life, and we hope you'll do that right now while you're thinking about it. If you have a question over the course of the evening and can't get to us, and you can't get to us during the live broadcast, of course, we want to offer you the opportunity to use the voicemail system at 844-322-2742. Well, we are out of time. For Bob and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.